This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XE30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXE30.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
Big data begets big storage announcements.
And SC13 winds down.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of HPC Wire Soundbite for November 21st, 2013 from the SC13 conference in Denver, Colorado. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined by my analyst, Chris Willard, our chief research officer. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Addison, how's it going?
Good. And Michael Feldman, also with Intersect 360 Research. How's it going, Michael?
Very well, very well.
Awesome. Hey, guys, it's snowing. Did you notice?
And yeah. It is cold.
And it's cold.
The mercury has dropped below 20.
For three California guys, I don't think we're doing too well, but I think this is going to end, and hopefully won't get snowed in here, but yeah, it's pretty untypical of what we're used to.
Yeah, well, I'll point out, this is now two supercomputings in a row with snow on the ground. That hadn't happened in quite a while before that, and if it starts snowing in New Orleans or Austin, I'm going home.
Yeah.
And after the podcast, we're all going to do a chorus of California Dreamin'.
That's right, exactly. And we're on Thursday of the show now. We're starting to wind down. A couple of sessions left. The exhibit hall's open for a couple more hours. There's more sessions going on tomorrow. But, yeah, lots more interesting to talk about.
Yeah, and we're following the announcements, and we're looking kind of for what's been going on. Of course, big data is sort of the theme of the show. That it was sort of the tagline for this conference, and we've certainly seen that with some of the announcements and some of the activity. Now, we saw three pretty big announcements from storage vendors. Addison, you've been following that pretty closely. Let's go kind of down the list and see who made some news.
Yeah, it was interesting because as we talked about on the last podcast, there wasn't a whole lot on the system side, but on the storage side, as is appropriate with big data, we did see some new storage announcements, starting with NetApp, who announced the new E-Series 2700. This takes the performance characteristics of their E-Series 5400, but down now into the base form factor, the entry-level packaging, to go for a 25% performance improvement over the previous generation in that form factor. It's targeting bandwidth-intensive target markets and 5 nines of reliability with an under 15K price point. NetApp likes to say that this is a high-performance product, but it lets them bring it into enterprise accounts where the watchword is set it and forget it.
Right. I think we've seen a lot of this sort of refresh where you're getting a lot of performance increase, and they're targeting some of this for the business market as well now.
They are certainly looking at the business market with this. It's worth saying they also updated the E5500 at the high end, which is also an OEM product they do with some other partners, including IBM. And they have an EF550, which is their all-flash array. That's more of a big data market and moving metadata into flash. So a lot of announcements kind of across this spectrum, and NetApp is pursuing a V-Series plus E-Series strategy for a lot of enterprise for a mix of the file-based storage with their FAS line and their block storage on the performance line with the E-Series.
Yeah, certainly we've seen the flash you mentioned. It's, I remember 3 years ago, hardly anybody had flash, and now there's hardly a storage refresher announcement that doesn't have a flash incorporation in some sense.
We've definitely seen a lot of flash around the show. Now, another storage company that had, I would say, an equal amount of announcements coming out was with Xyratex with the ClusterStor 9000. Now, this is the higher end of their product line, and they're advertising it was double the performance of the previous generation there. But I think even beyond the ClusterStor 9000 itself, a lot of the story there is in some of the management features under the covers, the software layers that went in the ClusterStor family that have also all been upgraded to really build a story of efficiency, efficient performance around these ClusterStor deployments. They're looking at improved managers, data integrity. I think the most interesting one among them is their ClusterStor Grid RAID, which is a Parity declustered RAID feature. It's like their own RAID 6 implementation or evolution from RAID 6 that they're showing is delivering up to 400% faster drive rebuild time. So they're trying to take their own proprietary higher performance spin on RAID.
Yeah, Xyratex seems to be on a very fast refresh cycle, and yeah, we've seen them refine the cluster store series in pretty rapid manner. So this is a nice set of features they've added here.
Both of these announcements do have a strong reliability, serviceability aspect, and I think that may, for the HPC side, may be driven in large part by the movement to big data and the actual increases in the demands placed on the file systems.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking about the applicability of these high performance technologies in big data environments, but when you're going into these enterprise environments, you're going to need to pick up the enterprise features to complement the performance. That's why we already talked about the NetApp features with Xyratex. Of course, they've got a cluster store flash accelerator. We've been talking about the importance of flash with respect to big data. And then I think the other very noteworthy thing in the Xyratex announcement as pertains to enterprise is they have what they're calling a cluster store SIFS NFS gateway, which is basically an export layer that allows you to hide the Lustre 2.5 in the back and give an NFS or SIFS front end so that the storage administrator has a familiar environment when they're dealing with this more scalable product.
So another big announcement we saw from storage was DDN, obviously a well-known vendor in this space. They've not come out with a product this time around. I think they did refresh their SFA product, but they sort of have a vision statement now that they're working on, they've been working on for a while, and probably we'll see some products coming up in the next year, but something called Infinite Memory Engine they're starting to lay out. Addison, we both talked to him about that, but what's your impression of this new technology?
Yeah, this Infinite Memory Engine, it's as you said, more of a vision statement. At first blush, it kind of looks like it's going to be a tiered storage type of announcement where you're looking at building in flash, but it's really more architectural than that, where they have what you might call a burst buffer, which is a non-volatile memory layer to provide a fast connection in between your compute resources and a parallel file system, whether it's Lustre or GPFS, and it's really more about incorporating cache layers at the different layers of storage as an architectural feature to improve throughput. So just like you might argue for a new memory architecture or a new memory and cache architecture for improved throughput, this takes that same concept and now brings it to disk, and they'll be bringing that to market in their future SFA lines.
Right. We've seen, actually, this is the first company I think we've heard of that's sort of gone public with this and this sort of burst buffer technology, which it's sort of based on. But there's a number of other storage vendors that are working on very similar technology. And I think some of this is being driven by sort of the upcoming next generation supercomputers that have certain requirements that demand something like this for the I/O. Now, of course, DDN is talking about this. It's not going to be just for HPC applications. It's going to be a very general purpose feature that's going to extend into their whole storage portfolio and verticals and well beyond HPC.
A major feature of this product is the insertion of a logic level between the user application and the hardware, which allows multiple views of the same sort of data set, or perhaps better spoken, multiple types of data sets to be accessed from a user point of view without actually changing the physical structure.
It's a good point, Chris. Really what you start to see as you pull this apart is that it seems to have a lot of the intended features of an object storage environment, which we're hearing again more about. There's a lot of talk about object storage at this show, but without it being a direct object implementation so that you can preserve the file or block-based implementation that you already have, make it a little easier to incorporate into an enterprise environment.
And also further blurring the distinction between NAS and SAN.
Absolutely. And this wasn't their only announcement, of course. They're also talking about a new SFA 12KX, which is a 20% bump over their previous generation. They've got their WAS product, which they said are for the Facebooks of the world, which is kind of a last-mile solution for hierarchical storage management when you want to take that and move it off-site. But all in all, we're seeing a lot of storage announcements at this show, certainly a lot more on the storage and data side than we saw on the compute and system side. Why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come up back and wrap up the show with some of what we've just seen as people ask us, what are we thinking around the show?
Need scalability across the performance spectrum? The Cray XC30 supercomputer family delivers on Cray's commitment to an adaptive supercomputing architecture that provides both extreme scalability and sustained performance. Leveraging a robust processor roadmap, high-performance interconnect, and flexible network topology, users can configure the exact machine to meet their specific requirements today and also remain confident that they can upgrade and enhance their system to address the most challenging multi-petaflop application demands of the future. To learn more about Intel Xeon processor-enabled Cray supercomputers, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
Okay, guys, so as analysts, almost every meeting we go into, from Sunday before the show to Thursday at the end or Friday at the end, people are asking us, what are we seeing? What are we thinking? What do we like? Let's try to wrap up some of those thoughts in this podcast. Go around, Chris. What was something that impressed you at this show this time around?
I was actually impressed by what was happening at the technology periphery in the show. That for a long time the HPC industry has been caught up in commercial off-the-shelf technologies and constructing clusters solutions out of those, mainly to drive price performance. As performance at the single thread level has leveled out, that the industry is now beginning to look for different technologies.
Yeah, it seems like we're really seeing some of these peripheral technologies coming back around and entering into the discussion, where you're seriously considering how much of this custom solution you want to integrate in order to really optimize for a particular type of application.
Yeah, and we've seen the, I guess you talked earlier about the Automata chip.
Right.
There's ARM DSP modules from TI for cooling. Liquid cooling was showing up at the show.
You also had a meeting with D-Wave.
D-Wave, I think, is one of the big surprises for the show for me, in that they did come to the show with benchmarks, programming methodologies, and essentially a 512 qubit machine that was producing some results in the quantum computing realm.
And I noticed that they've attracted some HPC talent that a lot of us who are been around the industry a couple of laps will recognize some of the names now associated with D-Wave.
Bo Ewald is there, old friends from back in the 80s with Cray Research.
Yep, Renee Copeland handling a lot of the sales. I knew both of those guys from SGI days.
Yeah, when I covered D-Wave, I think first in 2005, it was just emerging, and they were a very technology-driven company. The CTO was basically in charge there, and I think since then they've developed their products, and now they've got the HPC talent, the exec talent in there that they filled in, and they're starting to productize and market now.
Yeah. Now, Michael, what did you think about the show, and any of your surprises around what Chris is talking about, some of these peripheral technologies?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a really good observation. We did see a lot of the components there's a lot of innovation at the component level that are now coming in. One of them I was really impressed with. I mean, we've talked about Micron a little bit. They, the memory company, they've done a lot in the flash area. But this time around, of course, we talked about the Automata chip, which is a departure for them, and that was a very interesting product that's going to come out. But also, they announced they're doing 3D. They've productized their hybrid memory cube, their HMC technology. This is 3D memory with through silicon vias, and they've come out with the first product, which is being incorporated into a Fujitsu design, a Fujitsu supercomputer that's basically the son of the K computer. So it's their next generation system, and we'll start to see that being sold, at least into the Japanese market and possibly the European market as well. And they'll be the first hybrid memory cube technologies.
Yeah, absolutely a good choice there. That's a technology we're looking forward to continuing to track. I'll go with one that's maybe a little more mainstream. I thought Luster had a really good show overall. It seems like almost everybody's got a Luster story. The notable exception, of course, being IBM with their focus on GPFS, GPFS storage servers. And I think IBM will be successful with those, but there's a lot of community building around these Luster platforms. Now, so we went around on some of the things we were impressed with. What are some of the things that we were missing? And I'll go ahead and jump in here myself, since I'll just pick it up with the data side. And we were talking about storage announcements. We're talking about Luster. One of the things I was missing, of course, and a lot of other people were too, is we missed having Panasis at the show. It seems like Panasis has likely undergone a strategic change of direction. And they've unfortunately lost some talent from the company. I think, you know, we can infer some things. We think that the CEO, Faye Perriman, was out raising money, and we know that they have some new board members. I wonder whether the new board member and the new investments in the company might have also engendered a change in the strategic direction at Panasis that might not have been compatible with what they'd originally been planning to announce at the show.
Right. It certainly sounds like that. I mean, what they'll lose the CMO and the CTO.
Yeah.
And that's pretty severe. So there must have been some disagreement what was going on at the top, and I guess people were not happy with it, and they've left. So it seems like there's a big question mark. What's gonna go on in the future for Panasis now?
Yeah, it's a question of where they're gonna be. They're not here talking about it right now. It doesn't mean the company's dead. In fact, that they've gotten some new investment. It's a question of where are they going and are they going to continue to be part of our space.
Right, but you got to believe that since they missed this show, it's going to be a pretty severe change. They wouldn't have just skipped it. I mean, they've been here ever since I can remember. They've been at these shows since at least 2005 and before that. So this is...
Yeah, we've been tracking them for a while. How about something you're missing, Chris?
Laura Siegeval, the fourth member of our team.
Not pictured here
or not voiced here, pointed out that Amazon Web Services did not have a booth this year.
That's interesting.
After 2 or 3 years. It's, arguably that in previous years it was a bit of a stretch. But on the other hand, it makes me wonder if they did not get enough interest at the show in previous years to really justify coming back.
And yet, we came out with our first HPC in the cloud forecast this year. We have seen in our budget map surveys the percent of cloud spending starting to come up, although it's certainly not a huge portion of the market. We are seeing cloud gaining a little bit of traction, and now's the year that Amazon disappears.
I think that maybe Amazon looked at the numbers and decided there was more money in web services and back office support services than there was in high performance computing.
Well, that's probably something I would agree with. Michael, something you're missing at the show?
Right. I mean, basically, I think we sort of alluded to this before, but basically there was a sort of a lack of traditional supercomputing here. And we talked about the top 500 list was basically quite static there, except for the new Swiss system. And the lack of system announcements for especially the large systems, no new designs coming out this time. We're sort of between cycles for that. And, except maybe for the, on the non-vendor side for some of the sessions, there's a lot of talk about exascale in a lot of these sessions. We didn't see much vendor activity in supercomputing proper. So in a sense, it was a little bit atypical for the show.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, we've been talking for a couple of years now about how important big data is going to be as an expansion area for HPC technologies. And I would have certainly faulted anybody who didn't have a big data angle or at least have considered it for their technology. But it almost feels like this is too much. Like you went in and all you heard about was big data. The keynote was big data. Everyone's leading with their Hadoop solutions. To the extent that you got into technical computing much at all, there was a lot of attention around enabling of HPC among entry-level and mid-range, which of course we're in favor of. That's a good thing. But there's part of me going, where's my big supercomputer? Right. And, maybe the consolidation of the national labs all into one booth, you just didn't see it as much. There wasn't as much top 500 news, as you said. I'm kind of missing that big oomph somewhere.
Right. I think we're sort of riding the top of the hype cycle in big data, and I have a feeling we're not even at the top. I think we're going to be riding this for a while, and this is going to go on. But it's interesting to see sort of this divergence of interest in the HPC community, where supercomputing was king for so long, and now we've sort of got this mixed sort of application set in there.
I think in talking with some end users, that there are some real big data issues that are cropping up, in that previous models of moving the data to the compute are not making sense when we're talking about petabyte file systems and terabyte order files, that it just takes too long to really move data around, and that this may over the next few years cause people to reevaluate how they're designing their data centers and overall data strategies.
The flip side of it is, I think no matter how much we see here, there's always more that we can look for. No matter how much we cram into 4 or 5 days, we always feel like we could do another 4 or 5 days and we weren't going to drop dead from exhaustion or freeze to death anyway in some blizzard by the time we get out of Denver. It's beautiful outside, but it is getting pretty cold.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all of this. It's interesting to see sort of this transformation in the community. But to what Chris talked about, I think we are going to see, I mean, some of this is an opportunity, and we are seeing some of these solutions start to pop up and people address those challenges. I think we're going to continue to see that. It's really going to drive a lot of, I think, of the growth and the innovation in this space for quite a while.
All right, that'll wrap us up from supercomputing 13, the 26th Supercomputing Conference on the 25th anniversary of supercomputing. Next year from New Orleans, thank you, Denver. Travel safe, guys. I hope you don't have too many flight delays to all our listeners out there. And we'll be back next week, back on our regular schedule.
Sounds good. We'll see you then, Addison.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel, the new Cray XC30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.